gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, Central Louisiana and beyond. I bless God today. I pray you are as well. This is your guest host, Reverend June Addison, sitting in for Sister BJ. And I am grateful, as always, to her, to God, for the opportunity, to God and to her, for the opportunity to come and share a word of hope, of encouragement, of strength, even a word of salvation to those who will make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior today. So we're going to go straight to the word for today. It is coming out of Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. And if you're familiar, it is familiar ground. It's also recorded in Matthew 16. And Jesus asked his disciples a very probing question. He said, "Whom do men say I am?" Then that's in verse 29. And then he asked them another question. "Whom do ye say that I am?" It's awesome. Jesus initially wanted to know broadly. He wanted to know what others, what they were saying, who they were saying he was or was at that time, who he is. But then he brought it close to home. He brought it on a personal level. And in verse 29, he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" As I studied, I looked at both questions, and from those questions, Peter answered rightly by the Holy Spirit, and he said, "You are the Christ." He said, "Thou art the Christ." Oh, my goodness. Yes, Peter gave the right answer. Today, Jesus is bringing that question closer to us. He's not only asking, "Who does the world say that I am?" Or "Who does other people say that I am?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" So he's bringing it personal to us and intimate. And he said, "Who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord?" That was the third question that came out of this study. Peter answered rightly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But this third question that emerged, "Am I your Lord?" You know, I believe Jesus wasn't so much interested in knowing about himself, who he was, or his deity, because Jesus was fully and assuredly aware who he was and who sent him. But the question was leading the disciples to the ultimate question, as he's leading us today. Am I your Lord? Oh, yes, you say I'm the Christ, Yes, you say that I am Jesus. Yes, you say all those things, and they are scripturally, if they are scripturally right. But today the Lord is asking, am I your Lord? At that moment, and even today, Jesus was expecting a more personal and intimate answer from his disciples when he asked the second question. He didn't ask them, he wasn't probing them to embarrass them, to put them on the spot, or to make them feel inadequate. But as his disciples, he wanted them to know who he was in their life. And that's what he wants us to know today. Who am I? Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who am I in your life? Am I your Lord? And he's expecting from his disciples, and even potential disciples, he's asking us for a personal and intimate answer, that if we profess to be his disciples, if we profess him as our Savior, then surely we can answer the question, am I your Lord also? When we look at the word Lord in Hebrew, it means self-existent. In other words, he needs no other thing, no other person, place, or thing to exist. He is self-existing. He's the eternal Jehovah. He is God alone. And when we look at it in the Greek, which is the New Testament, Lord means supremacy. Supreme in authority, controller, in control, God, master, sir. The question, does Jesus, given these definitions, does Jesus rule like that in your life? Does he rule in your life as God alone? Does he rule in your life as supreme? With supremacy, with supreme authority? Is he the controller of your entire existence? Is he your Lord? My son, praise all praises and thanks be to God, came and gave his testimony at a program ministry that was held at Shiloh Baptist Church over on Lee Street. And he opened by saying, and it blessed me so much, I think I didn't hear anything else he said, but when he said, giving honor to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, oh my God, hallelujah. He is both Christ and Lord, and I wish I had time to park right there, but he is Christ, who is able to save by the finished work of salvation on the cross at Calvary. Christ, the anointed one that came to deliver us as our Savior, to deliver us. He came as the Messiah. And when a person is born again and believe in Jesus Christ and by no other name but Jesus Christ, then it is by faith that we are saved by that name, Jesus Christ. He delivered us. He can deliver. He wants to deliver today from the power and the penalty of death. And Jesus, when he comes in and saves us as Christ, he comes in and delivers us, then he comes in and he takes his rightful place and position in your life as Lord. He has preeminence as the only Lord that should reign and rule over and in your life, our lives, as his saved children. Go with me to Acts 2:36. I pray God you have your pencil, your paper, and your Bible. And we're going to look at what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Look at what happened. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know. Peter is preaching now. This is in conjunction with the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Savior. Oh, my God, Brother Peter. Ooh, hallelujah. Peter declared, the one that denied him three times, the one that ran and was following close behind, but he didn't come forth when Jesus was being imprisoned and when he was being beaten, when he was being tried before Pilate. Peter, now forgiven and brought back to where he was in his standing with Jesus, oh my goodness, and sent on his way to do what he was called to do as a disciple, Peter declares, Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. In this context, Peter declared Jesus as Christ and Lord. Not only did Peter realize Jesus saves us, comes into our lives, and take rightful place as Lord, but today the Lord is asking us, am I your Lord? Am I your Lord? Who do you say I am in your life? Does he have rule over all of you? Does Jesus Christ, who saved you, delivered you, set you free, does he have total authority and domain of all of you? Sometimes I wonder when people sometimes make the statement, you know, in particularly one well-known actor, comedian on TV, he said he's God is not through with him yet. He's not all the way saved. But the question again is he Lord of your life? Did Jesus do a partial salvation? Did Jesus do an incomplete salvation that he didn't save all of you? And so many times people, you know, they may justify their shortcomings by saying, well, I'm human. Well, you know, God ain't through working on me yet. Yes, we have sanctification, which is daily yielding to the Holy Spirit, daily giving over our will to be transformed into the will of the Father. And I understand it when people say that, but God, through Christ Jesus, who is Lord, had him, Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. Everything that needed to be saved, that needed to be delivered, and him establishing our lives as Lord was finished at the cross. Go with me to 1 John 3 and 2. 1 John 3 and 2. Saints, we bring Jesus down from his high, holy, lofty place, or we attempt to, when we say things that are short of the glory of God. When we proclaim something is lacking or missing in our lives that has not been completed through the salvation and saving grace of Jesus Christ. And what is needed in that moment is a total and complete yielding to the Holy Spirit, who did tell your mouth, don't say that. So that means if the Holy Ghost spoke to you and told your mouth, don't say that, that means your mouth is being saved by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in your life. you must now yield to him and not say what would have come out of your mouth, or what we think thoughts, or what we do in action. Oh, my Savior, look at 1 John chapter 3 and 2, chapter 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus wants to come into our lives and be our Savior and Lord, that when he appears, we will be like him. My. And we know Romans 12 and 2. That is familiar ground to us, Romans 12 and 2. Yes, we're being transformed. Yes, we are being daily sanctified through sanctification. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is God's will that Jesus be both Christ, saved, and Lord, ruler, oh my God, hallelujah, Jesus, of our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Salvation doesn't just stop at you saying, giving the pastor your hand or minister or evangelist your hand and saying, yes, I accept Jesus. It does not stop there. It goes farther until Jesus appears and we will be like him. And we can be like him in the earth, because we're daily being transformed into, because he's Lord over our lives. So salvation does not stop at just being saved, but it means totally and completely giving ourselves, our total existence, over to Jesus to be our Lord. Look at Romans 1, verse 1 and 3. Romans 1. Verse 1 and 3. I love to be able to go to the Word and read it from the pages of the Holy Ghost written Word. Amen. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Paul recognizes Jesus as Christ. Look at verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul recognized Jesus as Christ and Lord. Oh, bless his holy name today. Bless God today. Jesus not only saved us, but he wants to come in and be Lord of our life. And as I was doing this study, the Lord brought to mind, you know, he said, Jesus asked this third question, am I your Lord? And if I am your Lord, I must rule over every aspect of your life. Every aspect. No room is off limits to Jesus. No place in your heart is off limits to him. No place in your thoughts, words, and deeds are off limit to him. He's asking us today, he's pointing us to when he went to Calvary, when they were whipping him with Roman hatred. I was being your Christ and Lord. When they took me before Pilate and accused me, falsely accused me, I was being your Christ and Lord. When they took me and ridiculed me, and pulled, oh my God, Isaiah said, he gave his back to the smiters, and they slapped him, and they wounded him. They pulled out his beard. I, Christ the Lord, said, I was being both to you. I was delivering you, and I wanted to come in your life as your Lord. When Peter denied me three times, and all the disciples fled from the Garden of Gethsemane, And I had to face Pilate standing there all alone, other than God and the Holy Ghost. I was being your Christ and Lord. When they nailed my hands and feet to the cross at Calvary, oh, my Jesus, I was being your Christ and Lord, your deliverer and the one who would come into your life when you believed the gospel, the true gospel, and you've allowed me to come into your life and rule over your life. Oh, my Jesus. When we look at how Jesus himself declared that he is Lord. Of course, we go to Thomas. Remember when Thomas was doubting and he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, you know, I'm not going to believe. And Christ appeared. Oh, my Jesus. He appeared in that upper room. And Thomas exclaimed when Jesus appeared. He said, Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And we know God being three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Jesus referred to himself as Lord in Luke 19:31. And if any man ask you, when he told the disciples, go and ask the man for the colt that was tied, and they were getting ready to go and prepare for the Passover. If any man ask you, why do you loose him, loose the colt, thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord had need of him. Jesus himself referred to himself as Lord. Then over in John 13:13, he said, ye call me master and Lord. Remember the definition we spoke a moment ago? That in the Greek, it refers to master. Oh, my Father. Jesus said, yes, you call me Lord, master and Lord, and ye say well. For so I am. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't asking this probing question, you know, to embarrass the disciple or because he didn't know the answer. But Jesus wanted to bring the question of who he was in their lives. And he's asking you today, am I your Lord? He's bringing the question to make it personal and intimate. Am I Lord of your life? When difficulties come, when challenges come, when struggles come, when all the news have to report about is one man and what he's doing that day or what he's saying that day, oh, my God, that's when you lift your hands high and say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You are the Christ and Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we must settle affirmatively and definitively that Jesus is Lord of my life. He is my Lord and Savior. He is Christ and Lord. So search your heart today that he's asking, am I your Lord? Don't look at anybody else. Make it personal and intimate for you. I pray today, for those who don't know him in the pardon of your sin, for those who may be in a doubtful place, those who are in a decision place, I pray you will yield to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life take control. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Be Lord and Christ over my life. We can do grants. We can do programs. We can do outreach. But if Jesus is not made the center of it all, if we don't begin to point people to Jesus, hearts will not change. Souls still will be lost. We'll still have death and dying and killing in the streets. But church, the body of Christ, all of you who profess Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I challenge you to get off the couch, get out the pews, and bring Jesus, Christ and Lord, to the streets. Bring them to the lost. One thing I learned working in public health, Centers for Disease Control, back then, not what they're trying to make it now, made sure, and through their research, they understood they're not going to come to us to be tested. We have to go to them. So what did we do? We went to the street. We went under the tree. We went to the various places where people would gather. That meant the clubs. That meant walking the streets when they were out at night. Oh, my brothers and sisters, can we take this gospel to the lost? You know, at Easter time, we say we're doing the seven sayings, the last seven sayings of Christ, but I would like to interject something there. That was not Jesus's last words, the seven sayings. His last words was, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach everything I've told you, causing them to observe everything I've said to you." Then he ascended to his Father. Whew. Glory to God, glory to God. I'm excited, can you tell? Bless the Lord, our souls and all that is within us. Bless his holy name. We must take this gospel, and we don't go doing 7, 8, 9, 10 different steps. We go and say, believe on him. Believe on him. Believe on Jesus Christ. That by faith, he can come into your life and be Savior, Christ, and Lord, ruler. Because only he can change a heart. Only he can change a mind. Only he can transform our sons and daughters who are getting overtaken by drugs and overtaken by addiction. Only he can come in and transform that life. But we who are transformed must go and bring him to them. Did the friends tell Jesus to come because their friend was on his bed of affliction? No, they brought him to Jesus, lowered him in front of Jesus, tore up, I don't know whose house that was, but they tore up the roof and lowered him in front of Jesus. We have to bring people to Jesus. And in this day and time, this is the hour, the finest hour of the body of Christ, of the church, to bring and preach this true gospel of Jesus Christ. That he is and he will come in by faith and be Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to come in, rule and reign, lead, guide, and direct you by the power of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, through his word, daily transforming us into looking like him. God, we bless you today and thank you, Jesus, for going to Calvary's cross. I pray today you've been encouraged.
Us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow